Hello and welcome to Peanut Pie.
Hello all and welcome back to Peanut Pie. My name is Henry and today we are going to be discussing the ethics and morality of the villains in Legend of Korra. And here to discuss it with me is... Will!
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm glad that we're finally doing this.
I'm not doing great. I'm doing really bad.
Oh, why?
I'm not doing bad. I just wanted to offset your doing great. And if someone's doing great, we need to have all the emotions in balance. Like the Avatar.
Wow. It wasn't a good segue, but it was a segue.
Yes. So...
If I had to rate it 1 out of 10 segues, I'd probably give it 1 Paul Blart segue.
Okay. Anyways, today we're going to be discussing Legend of Korra, what I think is one of the most underrated TV shows out there.
Something we said we would be discussing about, what, 2 months ago?
I believe it was the TVST of the 5th episode of The Mandalorian.
So was that 2 months ago or 3 months ago? Or?
It was probably early December, November maybe?
It had to be at least 2 months, because...
Maybe. I'll check real quick. It was... Yeah, that was... well, we've been discussing doing it for a long time, but we first discussed it on the podcast November 30th. So, yeah, almost 2 months. Well, no, yeah, 2 months. Yeah.
Dang. Well, we made it.
We made it. We finally got here. Here we are, talking about the villains of The Legend of Korra. And can I just kick this episode off with an unpopular opinion that I will then justify?
Yeah.
I enjoyed Legend of Korra more than I did.
Oh, don't say it. If you say it, you're literally going to lose half the people that listen to this podcast. And then the other half will be mad and probably dwindle off in the next month. You're not allowed to say what you're about to say.
Avatar.
I'm sorry, Henry.
I was talking about the movie with the blue people. That Avatar.
Okay.
But in all seriousness, I enjoyed this show more than Avatar The Last Airbender. All
right, Henry, I'm leaving. This has been Peanut Pie. And I've been your guest, okay. Will, and I am permanently signing off forever. Goodbye.
Will, where are you going? Can I justify my explanation?
Boom, boom, boom. Boom, 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 boom.
I promise none of this is staged, people. It just happens. So, he's coming back. Okay.
I forgot my keys.
He forgot his keys.
All right, now I'm really leaving.
Bye. I think I'm gonna stop recording. Nope, he's coming back. All right. Can I speak my thoughts?
Better not be any more Avatar slander.
Not Avatar slander, but Legend of Korra booster.
No.
In Legend of Korra, we got a clear backstory. We got this alternate spirit world, and I just really enjoyed the show.
Okay, yeah.
Unlike Avatar, the entire show, this is the reason why we're doing a villain review on this show. Avatar, it was bad Fire Nation, and there were people in the Fire Nation who were good. Yeah, Zuko came around, stuff like that happened. But in this show, we have the ability to go everywhere. You can have all sorts of kind of benders, and they can be good or they can be bad. Sure, in Avatar, there's antagonists who may not be, like, you know, the biggest villain, but there are antagonists that are not the Fire Nation. But this one, like, the Fire Nation is no longer the only big threat that they're just trying to have to go after the entire time. And I like, you know, good villains. I really enjoyed the Avatar. But because they were able to work with different villains, and I just like some of the characters more, I have to say that this series, I thought
you
it
said
was really great.
It gave a clear backstory, but here's the problem. And I mean, now we're getting into more of a Avatar versus Korra debate. But
I'm ready to fight that.
I'm not sure I'm ready to fight it just because the last time I saw it was so long ago.
Yeah.
But what I can remember that was
Not too long ago. We watched the show in preparation for this episode. Well, no, we watched the show.
I just watched the show.
Yeah, but while you were watching the show, I said, hey, you want to do a villain review for this show? And you said, okay, that'd be cool. And since then, it has been such a long time that we can say it's been a long time since we watched the show.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Like, and I think other people have this complaint, is that Korra starts off way too OP. Like, the whole point, like, the whole journey of the Avatar, I don't know, is that he, you know, he has to learn, and we see him master all the skills. And, of course, it's a different story for Korra.
Yeah, it's a different story.
But there's just not as much growth in Korra to make this story interesting. It really feels like most of it...
Oh, I say there's tons of character growth in Korra. You just... There's not literal element growth. You don't get to see, you know, going to different people and learning the elements, but it's either, like, we see character growth and it's a different story. Like, I don't want to watch Avatar again, but with a girl.
But it's almost a little too much, like, story and outside. I don't know. It's still really great. Like, it's a really great show. But, and also did the original... Like, just how original the Avatar is, and it was the first one, and
totally.
I don't know.
I
still don't think you.
They're
can
really
beat it.
Cool. I think they can make a series, you know, cooler or more. You know, hey, it's really cool that this happened now, and this, you know, other thing. Maybe you enjoy Avatar more because of nostalgia, but I'm not saying, you know, that's bad or anything. I'm just saying, I personally enjoyed this show more. Like, I watched it and I enjoyed it. Like, maybe the Avatar was better. Maybe there are plot holes or whatever, but, you know, when you're able to go around, first off, there's, like, a city. You're not just following this one character and a few of his friends, which is really great. Like, you know, you get to build bonds with all of them and understand each of their characters, but it was just a whole new world, a literal whole new dimension we were introduced to, and all of the villains were compelling.
Yeah, but that's another thing when you bring up the
characters. Not just Big Fire Nation Man.
When you bring up the characters, though, like, they introduce so many characters that by the end seasons, none of them, except for Korra, get the attention they deserve. Like, they introduce, you know, the brothers, and, you know, like, by the end... Like, take Bo Lin, for example. Like, he has, I don't know, he
an
has...
an entire plot line about being a action hero to the public during a global war with Nuk-Tuk. Yes, he does
but
have that.
No, but at the end, it's still nowhere near, like, Nuk-Tuk, yeah, that was okay. But, like, I don't know, it's nowhere near the character, like, focus we get in Avatar. There's just
Focus, I'll give it to you. Totally. They definitely spend a lot more time with
yeah, they just can't spend as much time on each character, I think.
Some other characters.
And you know, Nuk-Tuk was cool, but Nuk-Tuk was like
also wrapped up a bunch of storylines as well. We got to see an old Toph and an old Katara.
Yeah.
Katara. That's how long it's been, people, forgetting the name of one of the main protagonists and the Avatar. But, I guess that episode came out a good while ago.
Yeah. I don't know, but anyway, we're not here for a...
debate over...
A debate between...
Legend of Korra and
although
Avatar.
Although, you might want to put that in the title, since, you know, we've already spent about
I don't think
8
I'm gonna
minutes
put
on it.
I don't think I'm gonna put it in the title, but I think it's just, you know, it was a fun little... You know, let us know, thepeanutpieguy@gmail.com. I'll probably put it in the description or something. But I say for the remainder of this podcast, we discuss the villains of Legend of Korra.
Okay, well, hit me with the first one.
Hit you with the first one. Well, first let me just run through them all. We have Amon with equality through persecution. And then we have Unalaq with reconnection through destruction. Then we have Zaheer with freedom through chaos. And then we have General Kuvira with unity through submission. So are you ready to get deep and philosophical?
You might want to shout out, no, not really, but you might want to shout out that Google picture you took all those from.
That is true. I'll give them a shout out. Yeah, I'm just on a Google image, but I'll click on the link or whatever.
They're great words, though. They're great descriptors.
They're great words. Yeah, I'll just have to like leave a link to it and the description down below.
Check the link in the description to get your free
You're not wrong, Will. We are giving something away for free. Seamless plug, once again, we are giving away a free Funko Pop from the Pixar movie of Soul. It's a Funko Pop of Moonwind. Yes, we're giving it away. A winner will be chosen on March 1st. That is soon, so you should probably go leave us a review, considering the fact we said this on Christmas Day. Yes. And no one has left a review yet. Your chances are pretty high if you want to leave us a review. That'd be really nice of you, and you might get a free Funko Pop. A winner will be chosen on March 1st if you live in the U.S. Now, with that seamless plug out of the way, do you want to get started with Amon?
Well, yeah, but which one?
Amon.
You said there's Amon, but there's lots of men.
Okay. All right. We're all laughing, right?
Yeah, which Mon?
Okay. Okay.
Oh, Amon. Oh.
Yeah, there we go. There we go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's talk about him.
So, Amon is one of the... This is the character that got it started for me. Like, ooh, you have a goal other than take over the world. And that was, you know, one of the things that that differentiation that made me... He's kind of
trying to take over the world.
But he was trying to, like, make everyone equal and then reveal himself to not be equal.
Yeah, but that's always an evil goal.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, don't get me wrong. All four of these people are evil. And if I end up justifying them in any way today, which I will probably end up trying to do, like, I'm not trying to say these people are good people. So equality through persecution, Will. This is tough. This is tough stuff. If you were a regular folk, would you want all the waterbenders to go? Like,
would I want all those superheroes to stop being a superhero?
But put yourself in those shoes, because you don't know that they're superheroes. This is just the way of life for you. And all of a sudden, this guy comes along and he says, we should all be equal. Are you like, yeah? Or really, put yourself in their shoes? Or are you like, nah, man, they're superheroes?
No, I don't think I'd care. I don't think I'd have the right to take away what they have. But I don't think, even if I thought I had the right to take away their bending, first, I would be well-educated and know that bending was like a gift from the Avatar gods. So then I'd probably be like, actually, no, probably not. Since the Avatar gods, you know, kind of gave this to us, I don't think we should be trying to get rid of it. And then third thing I'd think is, even if we could, there's no way I'd try to, because even though Amon is cool, like, there's no way he's about to be wiping out all of the benders in the world. Well, I know he just kind of wants to wipe
out... That dude looks cool. He's awesome.
He wants to wipe out all the benders in the city,
the final bender.
Yeah.
How'd you like him, like, bloodbending?
I thought it was a cool way to do it. You know, that's...
Mm-hmm. A nice explanation. And then, his connection to the Senate Council dude.
Although, pretty cool. Then I wonder, like, you know, I would like them to explain how moving your blood takes the bending out of you.
Well, I think it's, like, just, like, all of your bending ability is in your blood, right? And he just takes it all, and he puts it, like, in your pinky toe, right? All of the bending. And he just takes it, and he puts it in your pinky
but
toe.
But, see, that's a very...
But
bold claim, and I just think you're wrong.
Or maybe, like, don't they, like, open their mouths when he does it? I'm not sure if they do. But, like, what if it just kind of, like, comes out of their blood and just out into the air? And then you can breathe in bending.
Whoa. Anyway. Yeah, I mean, it could be any number of explanations, but I think the fact that they don't specify is kind of not... it's not my favorite, but...
Man, I like that they don't specify. It's just, like... Blood bending stuff. If they said they just pushed it all to the pinky toe, I would probably be a little disappointed.
Yeah, maybe if they gave like a, you know, like the midichlorians explanation for Star Wars that everyone hated in episode one.
Not everyone.
Well, lots of people hate the midichlorian. Like, you have a high midichlorian count in your blood, then you have the Force. So maybe they wanted to say something like, if you have a high Ozomatron, you know, levels in your blood, then you can do
bending.
You can do like earth bending or something.
Yeah.
And so then
Ozomatron. That's
by
the merch in the description, guys. I have Ozomatron in my blood.
But
we're making the merch, Will.
We're
gonna get it mass produced, yes. Yeah. There is Ozomatron in my blood.
But then if they did that, like, there'd probably have to be, like, so many other plot lines. There'd probably be a whole plot line for, you know, random people trying to steal Ozomatron from some deep Ozomatron mine deep in the ground. And that would just make it too complicated. So,
I mean,
you know, I see.
I wouldn't have any problems with
Ozomatron. I see what they did, but I, you know, it's between a rock and a not soft place.
Okay. So, just very simple question. Did you like Amon as a villain?
I did. I'm disappointed he wasn't the villain for all four seasons, because I thought he would be. Like, you know, when he, you know, from the first time you hear of this amazing reputation in, like, the beginning of season one, you're like, this dude's not going to be taken down easily. And I was hoping, like, you know, there'd be this whole battle between all, like, you know, I thought it could be huge the last four seasons, but nah, he just gets his butt kicked in the first season, and that's that.
That is that. So, I did kind of like how he started waterbending, and then everyone was just like, wait a second, Mon is waterbending. I love how just nobody questions Mon. He's just like, well, he just kind of takes it out of them. Because magic. Okay. Amon is cool. We can get back to ranking them later. But let's move on to the villain of season two. Unalaq / Vatu. Actually, you just reminded me. We stopped recording and you reminded me really quickly. That we didn't really talk about the morality of Mulan.
Henry, if you question Mulan's morality... There's going to be a lot of angry people.
Hey. Okay.
Anyways.
The morality of Amon.
Amon.
Amon. A quality through persecution. Again, we're using this image, but that is pretty much the gist of things. He's trying to make people equal, although it is for a much darker thing. You know, it's so he can be the only bender.
Wait, is that really it?
I think.
Dang, I forgot a lot.
Yeah, but equality through persecution. How do you feel about this idea? And rank Amon 1 to 10 on the evil scale.
You know, it's definitely got some good historical background with some nice communism thrown in there.
Nice communism.
You know, it's got the whole equality, you know, complex. The word equality that sounds complex. Nice, but, you know, means a whole lot. And then of course he wants to be the one person that can sit above the equality.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you gotta have a,
so, well, yeah, actually,
you just
I take
can't
back
have
the,
that. You gotta have some social,
I take back the
mobility.
Evil I take back the evil thing. Could you put him on a scale of 1 to 10 on morally correct? Obviously all of these will probably fall below 5, but just like,
no, he's completely immorally morally incorrect or immoral, but like,
or his intents.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Yeah, actually, but his intents are pretty evil to sit above everyone else.
But I know what you mean. Like, there could have been a sane person that was doing exactly what he was doing
without trying to be the waterbender above everyone else.
Probably, yeah, but probably could have had better motives.
Yeah.
Still misguided.
I put him at a solid 2, maybe a 1.
But
he's pretty evil, you know, actually. He's just straight up evil. But I still enjoyed his character complex, and his objective wasn't just, I'm going to do everything I can to take over the world. It actually had some plan in it. Okay. All right, moving on to a season two.
Moving right along.
In search of good times and good news. We can't get copyrighted, and that makes me sad. But anyways, we actually.
Why is the mic back here?
Oh well, yeah, the mic got louder just now. But we actually have a feature. Although we stopped using sponsorships, I actually do really enjoy Anchor. But they actually added a feature. A really cool feature where you can add music from Spotify, because Anchor's owned by Spotify.
Really?
So you can include 30 seconds of like any song, which...
Oh, you can't include the song?
You can include the song.
Oh.
30 seconds of it.
So like you can't include a full song.
Well, like, well, that just be kind of like, that wouldn't even be a podcast at that point. You'd just be listening to music, you know?
But what if you were doing like a podcast about music?
Well, then you still wouldn't want to include the full song.
But what if you wanted to like include a bit of it? Can you include multiple segments? Can you choose what segments? Maybe like you wanted to analyze a song. So you start and you play 30 seconds the first, you analyze it, play 30 seconds of the next part, analyze it.
Anyways.
You got to read up, man.
Unalaq is the villain of the second season of Legend of Korra. And as the image that we found on Google that we linked in the description so kindly told us, this one is reconnection through destruction. This one, he seemed the most just pure evil.
That's
but
what
he
I
also
was about
seemed
to say.
The most, like, you know, had a point as well. You know what I mean? Like, he was trying to open up the spirit world. And that's an actual, you know, thing in the universe that is, you know, kind of big. Should spirits and humans coexist in this realm?
But he was opening up the spirit world so that the devil spirit.
No, oh. No doubt. Everything that all these people are doing is just kind of bad.
Yeah, but I don't even. Yeah.
But he says several times throughout, and I don't think he's lying. Definitely he's trying to help Vatu. He wants to become one with Vatu, but the only reason he wants to become one with Vatu is so he can open up the spirit world because he believes that humans and spirits should coexist.
No, that's what Vatu believes. He believes that he wants power, because he wants power.
But he wants to open up the spirit world.
No.
He
is motivated by power. That the spirit stuff that he says is just superfluous, because he needs Vatu to come, give him power, and therefore, like, all, like, power in his mind came first. Then came the connection with spirits.
All of these villains are evil, but...
That was his primary motivation. I don't think he cared. If he wouldn't have gotten Unalaq's power, power, if Unalaq hadn't gotten Vatu's power, he wouldn't have been that keen about opening up the spirit portals. But then we realized that that's like a good idea, but obviously his existence is not a good idea.
Mm-hmm. So I have to say, just about this season in general, I didn't like season two as much, because season one opened up a fresh new world. We got to see cool new villain, cool new stuff like this. And then season two kind of stayed within those boundaries a little bit. And then for the main villain, like, the final fight is like giant Korra versus giant, you know, bad guy. Rah, rah, rah. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't my favorite reason. And then, you know, as we'll talk about later, seasons 3 and 4 reimagine the world a little bit, like season 3 opening up and, you know, what do you do when there are spirits in this world now that they are out there? And then season 4, we get a whole new villain and a whole new kind of perspective from the citizen side of things. We've been on the citizen sides of things, but like they've been very governmental and stuff about that.
Really? So, I was going to say season 4 was my least favorite season. But
Well, I mean, I'm not saying season 4 is my favorite, but I think we can rank the villains later if we get to it. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What's your favorite season, just out of curiosity?
Favorite season
and least favorite.
It's not going to be 2 or 3. I really love the Mon as a villain, just reintroducing. I know it's like, you know, that classic, oh, the first is the best, and then, you know, all the others are not as good with mm-hmm. movies and TV. But I honestly think that this first season was my favorite. Actually, I actually say 2 and 4 are not competing. I really enjoy.
I really like 3. I was about
to say. Because the spirit world opening up. Watching all that interaction. Ah, so great. So.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
1 or 3.
It's interesting. Yeah, that actually might be where I'm at. Maybe, but 2 is really good too.
I know, right?
It's tough, but I'll go 3 just for some
variety. Just for some variety. Even though I just said 3 is one of my answers.
Oh, I wasn't. I was not. I'll go 1 for some variety.
I'll go 3 or 1 for some variety because you said 1 or 3.
Yeah, wait, but I thought. Okay, I thought you were originally placing more emphasis on the 1, so I was going to place more emphasis
on the 3. But then I remembered, like, because this image we have, like, I looked at Zaheer, and I'm like, oh, well, that couldn't have been such a great season, because Zaheer is kind of just, like, human. But then I thought about Zaheer, and he's actually kind of cool with his air powers. And then I thought about that season, how it reintroduced the spirit. So I think it's a solid 50-50 between 1 and 3 for me.
Oh, man, I still don't think you can say that, because your first reaction was 1. You were like, 1. Actually, I like 3. And I was like 3. Actually, I like 1. So I think well, you're more of a 1 guy.
Well, I'm more of a 3 guy. I forgot that the spirits thing happened in season 3. Like, I genuinely yeah. forgot about that part.
And if when you I remembered forgot it that, was there. If it was more important to you, you probably would have remembered that, you know?
Fair enough. Okay. Anyway. Unalaq is the villain we were talking about.
Yeah.
And honestly, so I think, I'm going to say he's like the most morally correct out of all of these, but I felt like, I mean, obviously you said, you know, he's evil and stuff, you know what I mean? I understood some of the stuff he was saying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so like, I just kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say that like I agree with him, because all of these are evil villains, you know what I mean? Like, even the one that I most agree with, I do not agree with, because they are evil, bad people. But,
hey,
on that note, I agree with all of them. No, but yeah, I understood him a bit more as evil as he seemed.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
Okay.
I mean, I agree. I know, I don't agree, but I see where you're coming from.
But like, all of season 3, I mean, I know we're talking about season 2, but all of season 3 is about, you know, this nature between humans and spirits. And, you know, the episode 1 of season 3 is like, humans and spirits are not getting along, but like through the season you get to see the progress and then humans and spirits coexisting peacefully.
I really thought they were going to catch them like Pokemon. They were going to be like
Legend of Korra. Not only would be better than After the Last Airbender, but it would be like 10 times better if they did that. Will. If it was just turned into like a full-fledged Pokemon show in season 3, like make more seasons. Like, I would love that.
Or, like, I don't know, maybe they got spirit companions. I would have loved, I mean, there were spirit companions, but, like, not everybody had them. I feel like everybody.
Yeah, but they weren't, like, big things, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they weren't. They were just, like, the little, if I have this right, they were just, like, the little fairies that talked to, who's the young girl, Airbender? Who could, like, travel in the spirit
young
world?
Girl Airbender, yeah. Why can't I remember her name? We're going to look it up real quick.
Because we haven't watched the show in forever.
Facts. After a trip to the Googles, we determined that this name is Janora.
Yeah.
So, I love how you're like, yeah! Like, that's it, even though we just Googled it together.
Yeah.
You're just like, okay, it's Janora. And I'm like, and it's Janora. And you're like, oh, that's very interesting.
Really? It's Janora. Oh, I didn't know that. Anyway, I feel like we've talked enough about Unalaq.
All right. Well, if you want to move on, we can move on and talk about first, rank him 1 to 10 on good intentions.
Oh, intentions? Even
I only saw his intentions were to open up a spirit world and they got really twisted there at the end, but I'm going to give him a 4. I mean, and also, like, reduce this scale, because, like, a 10 out of 10, we're talking about villains here, that would still not be, like, 10 out of 10 would be Thanos, you know what I mean? Like, incredible intentions, like, you know what I mean? But he's still evil.
Thanos
would be a 10 out of 10, that's what I'm kind of saying here. So, Unalaq being a 4 out of 10, I definitely think he's a little power-hungry.
Okay, yeah, I think he's a little better than Amon.
Yeah.
Because they both are corrupted by power. One wants reconnection with spirits, and one wants
a quality where there shouldn't.
Yeah, where you shouldn't need to have them.
Like even, like, does this make sense? Like, I think they're both corrupted by power, but even if they weren't, I would rather the spirits come to the world than for him to take away everybody's bending. Well, kind of obvious, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. So I forgot what I ranked Amon, but I'll give him 2 points higher than Amon.
Okay, I believe I probably gave him a 2. Amon. Okay,
then so, perfect. I give him a 4. Great.
Then we have a 4. Now let's move on to season 3, which is Zaheer with Freedom Through Chaos. I don't know why I said it that way. Zaheer.
Freedom Through Chaos.
Freedom Through Chaos. Freedom Through Chaos.
I don't know. I really like Zaheer. Like I said, like, this might have been like my favorite season just because of the reconnection with the spirits. But then also, that's not really part of the villain. But the villain is like, mm-hmm. I don't know, he himself is so unattached. He's able to achieve stuff that no one else has achieved, that like, so like, he learns to fly. Mm-hmm. And you think that'd be able to achieved by some amazing good Zen master, like, you know, Shifu would have from Facts. Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah.
Not Shifu, who is the, well, maybe Shifu, but also like the turtle.
Yeah. We don't know their names, but Shifu sounds like a name that could be there.
No, Shifu is definitely Shifu?
Is the turtle or the...
Who? No, like the other...
The sensei cat, kind
of. One, I know, yeah.
He's like a sensei. One? He's a cat, right?
No.
He has to be a cat.
He's like a...
He's like a goat cat?
Shifu is not a goat cat.
All right, I'm looking him up then. We're using the voice feature. Kung Fu Panda, Shifu. Come on. Come on. That is totally a goat cat. That has to be a goat cat.
No, he's a red panda.
But he's not red. And he's not as big as a panda.
Oh my gosh, we looked it up and it didn't even tell us.
It didn't even tell us. Oh, what okay, he there's is. A question. Is Shifu a red panda? Master Shifu, so he is a red panda. He is a red
panda, I told you.
Guys, # Master Shifu is a cat goat. Sheep.
Okay, like, cat, okay, where did you get goat from Master Shifu?
Well, like...
Master Oogway.
Where'd you get red panda from over there?
Because I've seen red pandas and it looks like him.
Oogway is the turtle, right?
Yeah.
All right,
we didn't have to look that one up.
Kung Fu Panda Oogway.
He's...
Let me just make sure. It is turtle. Yeah. It is turtle man. Okay.
Anyway.
Would you want us to cover the Kung Fu Panda fandom? Let us know at thepeanutpieguy@gmail.com. Anyways, after that
I feel plot. Like Master Oogway would have been someone that would have learned to fly. Mm-hmm. But it's cool how the villain unlocked very noble, heroic powers.
Yeah, like flight.
So that's, you know, that's probably one of the reasons I like this season so much, too.
I love, for Peanut Pie, we just include a spoiler alert for every and all fandom that we've seen. Just like spoiler alerts ahead for literally every fandom.
Yeah.
Well, except for the ones we haven't seen.
Yeah, for sure. But then I also was thinking, like, he wants the world to descend into chaos.
But, like, he wants it to be a free world. He's like, government, bad, which...
But there's his problem, though. Like,
oh. yes, these villains definitely have problems. Well,
yeah, but, like, a new government will just emerge. Like, a government is just a construct to keep order. So if you let, destroy the government, then a new, like, people are not just going to live in chaos for long. Like, they're going to make a new government. Like, that's the human nature of people. So maybe
dang it, Will, I wanted to destroy the government.
You can destroy the government.
Here comes the FBI. Knock, knock, knock.
Well, you can destroy a government, but another government will always exist. Like, humans will never be without some form of government.
It's like, as Loki said, humans crave to be ruled.
That will wait. Yeah, Loki, that's a good villain.
That's a good morally...
Not really.
I mean, we're probably going to end up covering, like, 8 episodes of a TV show called Loki, so
yeah,
get ready for that eventually.
Although, I would put him now, like, if we were playing D and D.
D&D, like...
D, I was like, D... Oh, I forgot the other one. D and D.
Chaotic neutral.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. I would put Loki as a chaotic neutral.
Definitely chaotic. You can put him in good, evil, or neutral, but he's chaotic.
Yeah, but since he's been both chaotic good and chaotic evil, I thought chaotic neutral was perfect.
See, I could beat him with like a lawful evil, if you know what I mean. Like, no. A little bit.
Lawful evil is like, I don't know.
Like, not running around and destroying buildings, but releasing a gas into the air that kills everyone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what's law, like...
That's, yeah.
I don't know, Hydra, I feel like, is lawful.
Yeah.
But okay. Anyway, that's besides the point. The point is, definitely not with the Avengers. Is cool. Is, yeah, that Zaheer is cool. Freedom is always good, but, like, government's always going to be there, so you just got to...
Oh, so dang it, Will. Yeah. You just ruined all my hopes and dreams of taking down the government.
Hey.
I'm sad now. Okay, hey. So, yeah.
The government could be listening.
they probably are. There's the FBI knocking on our door right now, probably. But yeah, I really like what you said about this this not noble guy getting powers that in other fandoms would be considered, like, you know, only for the greatest of heroes and whatnot. And I honestly think that out of these four villains, he's the most well-intentioned one.
I was going to agree.
You were going to agree. You weren't gonna make the same sense. Statement, but you were just going to agree. So you were planning on me making that statement so that you could agree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Zaheer is just pretty epic, and as we are both already mentioned, this was our favorite season.
Yes. Well, not your favorite season.
It tied for my favorite season.
Sure it did.
It did. I forgot about the spirits, okay?
Anyway.
And I love how this season was all about, like, trying to take down the government so there could be freedom. Just, like, the natural order. Just, like, you know, spirits and people just, like, getting along. Even though, obviously, through chaos. Before we move on to the next villain, give me a 1 out of 10 ranking on the morality of Zaheer.
6. I'm going to keep going up by 2s.
Going up by 2s? I don't think I'm going to be able to do that with Kavira.
Me neither.
But I think...
She's just pure dictator vibe.
I'd give her, because obviously we're going on intentions, right? So if we're going on intentions, I'll give him like, I don't want to give him like a 10 out of 10 or anything, but I'll give him an 8. Because like, he's well-intentioned. Like, he's not doing this for power. You know what I mean? The point of this is that so nobody is in power.
But it's like,
he's not doing this for himself. He's doing it for what he thinks. Like, he thinks he's doing it for the rest of the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'd give him an 8, you'd give him a 6. Alright, do you want to move on to our final villain?
I would.
Alright, now we are going to be discussing Kuvira, the villain of the 4th season, or General Kuvira. That's General Kuvira to you! No, the 4th season's villain, who, if I pull up our image real quick, alright, our graph that we're using says this one is unity through submission.
Woo.
So, like, the exact opposite of the villain from last season. Like, last season was like, you know, we're gonna have chaos, so there we can just all do whatever we want. And this person's like, guys, we just all have to submit, so you all do what I want.
Yeah.
So just very different
villains. But then there won't be chaos.
That is true. So what's interesting about this villain, I guess it's kind of true with, like, all... No. It's her and Unalaq who both have this, but, like, they both start off as good people. I mean, I think she's... Does she have good intentions all along? Or is this a, I want to rule everything? Or is this a, I think I have good intentions, but, like, subconsciously, she wants to, you know, rule everything.
This might sound weird, but I think she has the best intentions out of all the villains.
Uniting everything?
No, I think...
Especially with that end scene, though, where she, like, is just like, yeah, I recognize that I was evil. And that's something really big for, like, a villain to do. You know, like,
yeah.
It's Darth Vader and Kuvira. That's all the people who do it.
I think it's definitely more than that, but
yeah,
I get your point. And I don't know, like, she just didn't seem as bad to me as the other ones did. I mean, that's a very, like, that's a very low bar.
Yeah, I mean, you lead a robot with a giant gun into a city, just start shooting things. There is evil there, but compared to some other villains, I don't think it is as...
Definitely not as evil, evil. As season two.
Yeah, as Unalaq. And then I think... yeah,
and definitely, still I don't think it's as evil as Zaheer, because Zaheer wanted complete chaos, and...
And then Amon, well, I mean, like, Amon didn't have a big enough scale to do what he wanted to do, but on a smaller scale, he was doing worse things. He had worse intentions on a smaller scale.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I truly believe that Kuvira thought she was doing the right thing, though she, like, completely wasn't. I think she was thinking that, like, hey, like...
Yeah, I'm not in the wrong here.
Yeah, I...
And especially starting off the season with two characters who we know well and we think are, you know, well, who are protagonists, Bolin and Varric, having working for her, like... But and that also gives us some trust.
You know... But you know Varric is shaky, like, you wouldn't be surprised.
And Bolin is gullible, yeah.
Yeah, and he's, yeah, exactly. Bolin's gullible, and Varric is morally shaky, so you are like, mm-hmm. Well, that's not the best evidence that she's the good guy. But it's still, yeah, you still trust them more than you trust her, so you're like, yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
She's okay, but nah, but as soon as you see her be like, okay, I'll protect your city, just sign over complete control to me.
Yep.
You're like, well, you're the bad guy. I mean, it's definitely the worst government. So I don't know. I'd give her like what I give.
I'd say intentions wise, she's a little worse than. I mean, obviously we're allowed to disagree here, but I say intentions wise, it's a little worse than Zaheer. Zaheer, his intentions are pure the entire time because he's not like trying to specifically kill people. He's not trying to specifically, you know, take over. Like, there are flaws in his plans. There are flaws in his ways. There are flaws in his morals that I don't agree with, but he has good intentions. He thinks he has good intentions. Well, no, he does have good intentions. That's what it means.
But so, yeah. He wants everyone to have freedom, and she wants everyone to have peace. And it's like, you
but
can't...
with her, there's like, you know, there's the fact that she, when there's peace, she's going to be the one standing on top of it. And you have to wonder, is any of her motivation coming from that?
Oh, totally. Totally. But I think it's still...
Well,
they want to be united under her, but she doesn't want to rule to be cruel. She just wants to rule because she thinks that she's the most apt to rule everyone, which is not true, but she thinks she's the most apt to rule everyone so that, you know, it should happen.
And I think I would put her on the morality scale a little bit lower than Zaheer.
Yeah, I'd probably put her...
I think what she's... trying to accomplish, I would rather happen than what Zaheer is trying to accomplish. But when it comes to what they think they're doing, I think Zaheer has better intentions.
No, but I think you
and
said
less
it...
ego.
Okay, yeah, I think you said exactly what I was trying to say. I would rather see, Kuvira's very strict government regime take over. Then Zaheer's world of chaos ensue, and just for that fact, I like Kuvira's morals more than Zaheer's.
Mm-hmm. And so, guys, for the question of the day, would you rather have no government at all, or a very strict government? Peanut pie.
Or would you rather have America? Woo-hoo!
America. So all of that. I personally would rank her... What? Give me your 1 out of 10 skill.
Whatever I ranked Zaheer. I already forgot what I ranked him.
8, I think.
It was not as high as an 8. It might have been a 6 or a 4, maybe?
I think I gave him an 8.
Okay.
Because if we're giving Thanos a 10... That's how I've thought about the whole thing. If we're giving Thanos a 10...
I wouldn't give Thanos a 10.
He has the purest, like... I guess morality and intentions are different things.
Thanos does not get a 10.
I guess. Okay, I was thinking Thanos, a purely intention-based thing. Like,
okay, this is off topic, but...
Like, Thanos literally, like, could have achieved his goal faster by killing people, but he didn't, because, like, he didn't want to do that. He only wanted to achieve his little goal, you know what I mean?
But he also could have just made twice as many resources.
Well, that's a flaw in his thinking, not his intentions.
No, but it shows his intentions. If he didn't even consider the possibility of doubling resources, if his only possibility was to murder half the universe... Maybe he just didn't think about that. Yeah, but he didn't think about it because his mind is skewed towards murder. So, I
still... that's a whole other thing.
Don't think that...
that's a whole other thing.
I think Thanos is very far from 10 out of 10 intentions. I think, like... And if he's... He was supposed to be crazy smart, too, to wield all the Infinity Stones. And he didn't realize that he could just double the amount of planets and double the amount of resources. Then the dude is a dummy. Like, it's just...
I would rank Kuvira probably about a point lower than Zaheer for me. I think that would be a 7. So we've talked about morality. We've talked about all this stuff. I'm going to pause the recording real quick. And I want you, when we resume, to give me your ranking of these villains, not morality, but just how much you liked them. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, we both have our rankings. Will, give me your number 4.
My number 4 is Unalaq.
My number 4 is Unalaq.
All right.
Big bad guy. He does do a slow betrayal, and, you know, he's kind of...
He's
cool
great.
In his morality, but just his power set and, like, his villain overall thing. He's just like, all right, now I'm big boy. And then Legend of Korra, or just Korra, is big girl and big fight. Rah.
Yeah, it's probably the most generic plot. It's a little cheesy, like, yeah. Kind of like an evil twin avatar plot. Good versus bad. It does good to explain whole season does good to explain the origins of the universe. That's,
like,
the season
I think it was necessary, but not... something I needed. I'm sorry I cut you off. Yes.
That's the season we get, right, that explains the whole origins?
Yes, the one that explains.
So that's good. And it does serve to be a good, like, climax to that. But he's just the most kind of, I don't know, he's the least dynamic villain, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, number 4, you? Yeah.
And for that reason, I'm out.
For that reason. Number 3?
All right, number 3. Number 3 for me is Zaheer.
All right.
I really like his morality, and I mean, we already talked about his morality. But overall, for me, he was just kind of, like, you know, his power set and his overall appeal was just a bald guy who can fly, and he just wasn't overall too complex. There wasn't too much about him. Not a bunch of, you know, different character arcs going on. It's just, like, part of the the opposite White Lotus, similar to Unalaq.
Cool. You? Kuvira. She was really basic, too, until her switch at the end. I thought she was, like, my favorite morally. But, actually, she probably kind of ties with Unalaq for me, because she doesn't really change throughout the whole season. She just wants... You know, she just wants to, you know, take over the world. And then at the very end, she's like, oh, yeah, I was bad. But she's a very, dynamic and...
Yeah, unchanging.
No, but there's a word for characters that don't change. A fancy word I learned in English class.
Well, do you want to Google it?
No, they probably know it. And if not, you should look it up. Well, the word for
we character... should look it up, but we're not going to do it.
No, they can look it up.
Okay, you can look it up on your own time. I don't care if you're, like, going to bed or something.
Stable? No.
Stable, unchanging. Unchanging is a pretty good word for a character that doesn't change. Have to say. All right, we're Googling it anyways. Let's see.
Static character.
Static.
That's the word I was looking
static
for.
Static is the word.
All right.
Number 2? Or do you want to do number 2 first?
I'll do number 2.
All right.
And it is Amon. And that's because I really like him. So that's why he's number 2. And I think he's really cool. He's not as good as, obviously, my number 1 is Zaheer then.
Mm-hmm.
But he's...
Shh, don't spoil it, even though they already know.
I don't know. He just... His...
Persona.
His past is really cool.
Oh, yeah.
I like his past and his connection.
His way of doing things, yeah.
His connection to the...
the water, the council member. I forgot.
That was fun.
And that's his brother and everything. Mm-hmm. And the way he's a bender, but he wants to take away bending. He's very, complex. And he's the first villain you get.
Yeah.
So it's cool to start off. The ability to
have like a complex villain as your first villain.
Yeah. And you kind of start off with him. And he's mysterious too.
Yeah.
So for that reason, I don't know. I really like him.
Yeah, he's really cool. For number two for me, I have Kuvira.
Mm-hmm.
Same reasons as you why she's not higher, but the reason I do have her so high is it was kind of fun to see this different, military side. We've always seen the little guys helping the big guys, but seeing the big guys, and then, she's introduced, and I'm not quite sure when she was introduced that she was going to be the big bad. And seeing all these people with her. And obviously, by episode, seven or whatever, I'm like, okay, she's going to be evil. But, up until then, I was, pretty convinced. And then we actually get to see this big military thing. And I thought it was kind of fun. And I just enjoyed it a little bit more than the other two.
You didn't know she was going to be evil by episode one?
No,
She says, give me all the rights to your town. Does that sound like anything any good guy would ever say?
It's been a while since I watched the show.
Okay.
She's just a bit more fun and complex, seeing a new side of things.
Yeah, and they do put her in the third season, but I really don't think it was that good a backstory because 3 years passes and you don't really know what happened in there. Mm-hmm. But no, I do see where you're coming from for that.
All right, give me your number one. My number one is here. What?
I just really like him, and I guess it widens out to actually be his whole crew of elemental, elemental masters that he hangs with.
Yeah.
They're also cool, and they're also cool. Yeah, the Red Lotus. Mm-hmm. I like where that comes from, building off the White Lotus from Avatar, of course, and how they all work together. And I love his fighting. I think he's...
Yeah, it's kind
of
cool.
I think some of his fight scenes, and especially his fights with, Korra, and when he initially... That scene when he busts out of that sky cave.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really like his fighting scenes.
Am I allowed to change my number two and three?
No.
I'm going to put Zaheer at number two and Kuvira at number three now.
Okay.
It just changed, guys.
Sure. And then, I guess I did a good job convincing them.
Yeah, you did a good job. You convinced me.
And so, yeah, and obviously he attained the noble power of flight while still being bad, which I think is cool. And then the whole poison strategy, I think, was a cool way to
That was scary kill. For me.
It was scary. And
and then it still has repercussions in season four.
And it still has repercussions in season four. So
yeah.
There's Zaheer. And what about you?
Could you guess my number one, possibly? Somehow? His name is Amon. You say yourself very brilliantly in your number two spot. He's just really fun, especially just the first season of a show, being able to pull off and execute a villain so well. Can I talk about the costume for a second? That's just the coolest looking villain. I don't care what you have to say about that. And then, the ability to bloodbend powers out of people. He's so mysterious. And then, the public coming to find out he's actually a waterbender and their whole reveal of his connections to everyone else. I just thought he was a really fun villain. Huh. Well,
I kind of want to put... No. Oh, no, he's good where he is. I want to put Unalaq higher, but I don't want to put any of them lower.
Yeah, I can't put Unalaq higher. Unalaq, yes, he does have some cool stuff go on with him, but I just can't put him any higher than the other ones. But, Will, I think it's safe to say that there are some fun villains in Legend of Korra.
I agree.
Anyways, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. And there's music playing right now, so that probably didn't go sound well with the music that's playing as well. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode of Peanut Pie. Want to send us an email? Send an email to thepeanutpieguy@gmail.com. Want to leave us a voice message? Go to anchor.fm/peanutpie. Thank you so much. Yeah, that was a very quick outro compared to some other outros. I think that's all I need to say. Oh, we're giving away a Funko Pop. If you want that Funko Pop, just leave us a review. Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. If you live in the U.S., you'll be entered to win. Winner will be chosen on March 1st. Okay, we'll see you guys next time on Peanut Pie. You have something to say, Will?
Bye.